Hello and welcome to the Melissa Diaz Report. My name is Melissa Diaz, coming to you live from Austin, Texas. Baby, what's up, dude? Yeah, the gun-totinest state in the nation. And that's pretty apropos because there's a lot of gun news this past few days. So we're going to cover that. We also have some recent research done into Taylor Swift's dialect. We have tech news coming up also. I'm going to briefly cover news about Meta and also AI-generated investigative journalism. We're also going to just cover some more vigilante justice news. Lots of vigilante justice happening, including a man who admitted to killing his parents on live television. We got two major mass shootings and I think a couple of other ones, but these are the sort of two main ones where the attacks were targeted due to some ideology or belief about certain groups. Then we're going to also cover some anniversaries and RIPs because we got Asada Shakur, who actually is recently deceased. We're going to talk about that. And also Sarah Jane Moore, who I think this is the anniversary. Oh no, who died and now at 95. She tried to assassinate President Gerald Ford in 1975. Then in the nation, we got some Trumpy Trump news. Trump sending troops to Portland, as well as some data coming back about the impact of Trump administration enforcement agencies that focus on deporting immigrants, the ICE shit basically. And then we're gonna briefly talk about the RFK impeachment. And then foreign news, we got China as the number one threat in space, according to Space Force General. That's our news. That's a lot. That's pretty ambitious. We're probably not gonna really cover any of those in depth. I'm just trying something today. I'm just trying it. Let me know what you think. That's fine. So if it's not good, I'm just trying to mess with the format of this show and see what works for me and how it sounds and what's better and what's best and what's bestest. So anyway, as I was saying, we're going to start with culture. Let's do that. Damn, I'm so fucking out of it today. All right. Dude, having a baby is like why, you know what I mean? Like you're just, I hate myself? Did I do it because of that? I don't know. Do I want to just feel guilty and awful and also feel joy at the same time, just confusing me constantly every single day of my life, just worrying that I'm messing her up somehow, but also just completely enthralled by this beautiful little being that I get to raise? I don't know. I don't fucking know. Okay, it's crazy. Plus, added to that, you know, my brain, your brain, you know, as a lady, as a woman, as a mama, as a mommy, right? Your brain is, you become like brain mom. Mom brain. Look, I said brain mom. You see what I'm saying? You just become an idiot. I mean, but you become an idiot for everything except for paying attention to a baby. That's it. You become insane. And I think everybody knows it. That's why people are pretty lenient about moms being annoying or not good at other things or just kind of obnoxious. Like if they ever step out of line in certain ways socially, I think people give them leeway. They give us leeway because they know that parts of our brain are actually missing at this point, and it's all been funneled into just tunnel vision. Your entire brain is being shoved into a fucking cone, and the cone is just a hollow cylinder, and at the other end is just your baby's face. And so you would be forgiven for acting like a stupid bitch sometimes. People get it. And, you know, and I really, nobody talks about that enough, but I just want to say, I appreciate that. Thank you so much for letting us dumb bitch moms just, you know, drive all over the freeway on our way to the supermarket, backing into streets without looking, just kind of being all over the place with your baby in tow and just kind of you're just acting like a loose dog with no leash, no owner. Everyone's like, whose dog is this? You know what I mean? But it's just, that's your brain. Your brain is just this dog with no leash wandering around, going up to the wrong people, doing the wrong shit. And it's just because it's been mandated to just take care of a baby to the exclusion of all reason and logic. And, you know, it probably is, that's exactly how it should be. I mean, how else can it be? So thank you, society, for kind of looking the other way when that happens, when we act like dumb bitches, when we do dumb bitch shit. You know what I mean? When we can't use words correctly, when we laugh at inappropriately during a conversation as if we weren't even paying attention, when we drive like idiots, when we do the things that we do, you know, and just bring up topics that have no bearing on your life and you don't care and you listen, you just kind of let us do that. Thank you. Anyway, moving on. As I was saying, researchers analyzed shifts in Taylor Swift's dialect, and this is actually kind of an interesting thing because they analyzed years of interviews with Taylor Swift to observe how her dialect changed over time as she moved between regions of the country. And I find that very interesting. This is actually something from Ground News. This is an amalgamated set of articles that come from different locations. That's basically what Ground News does. But, you know, her dialect changed over time as she moved between regions. After completing measurements across different eras, I guess, is era a CD or something like that? She's an era, like she has a, like Picasso had periods, like a blue period. Isn't that interesting? Picasso had periods, like a girl, and Swift had eras. Like a monolith of some kind. She would have eras too, because Taylor Swift is not the girl. Taylor Swift is a corporate. Is a corporate ship, dreadnought. Shit, it's a corporate galleon that just moves through space and time. It's a multinational corporate interest. There are stakeholders and chair members of different aspects of a different contractors. There's a cottage industry around her. There's all kinds of stuff. She is a corporate entity. She is not she anymore. The Taylor Swift that is the girl that gets up there with the guitar is a person whose name is Taylor Swift, I think. She might not even be the name she was born with, that she was given at birth. She might have changed it. I don't actually know. I'm not a Swiftie, but no hate to Swifties. They are a part of a corporate-funded phenomenon. This is like McDonald's and Starbucks, right? But this is for culture. This is to create a big flag around which youth can come together and engage in the youthful orgy of a music concert and come to do the drugs or not, if they happen to be a straight edge movement, who knows? It doesn't even matter. It's just to buy the merch, to buy into Taylor Swift. And so in that way, in a very strange, existential way, the real Taylor Swift is like so much more than that girl. Behind her, if there were some kind of spiritual realm where you could see things for what they are, Taylor Swift in that realm, if you consider all of the entities that actually back her and bolster her career and fund it and promote it because they want to make some money and do different, you know, maybe even it's also a tool for diplomacy internationally, you know, celebrity performers like that when needed. And so you would actually, in that spiritual realm, let's say, right, like what your, let's say you are your spirit animal, for you, right? She would be like a Leviathan, Hydra, like a sort of multi-limbed, multi-headed creature, like a chimera, you know what I mean? That spits out gobs of fire, just vomit, belches fire, flames out of her mouth and just moves. And when she moves, existence just shakes with the weight, the existential weight of what she really is. What she really is. She's a vehicle. She's a big, monstrous Tesla truck, money-making machine. She's like if a casino had a sentience, you know what I mean? Had a consciousness. That's what Taylor Swift really is. That's what this kind of person is. It's basically also what Beyonce is. And anybody who gets that big and is pushed to get that big, and it's usually a girl, I think, because like C. Wright Mills says this in The Power Elite. It's one of the most interesting quotes, but it's something like, I'm going to paraphrase it, something along the lines of, you know, there's always the girl in American culture. She's the one. Like we always use the girl to sell things with, right? That's like capitalism's biggest asset is a young virginal girl, a young, nubile, like fresh-faced innocence, you know, that will soon drain away from her face, but you'll still follow her because you feel almost like you took her virginity as a consumer of her product, of her cultural output. And you follow her and until she dies, right? You follow this woman. Like you're gonna, Beyonce fans will follow her until she is dead. And they or till her fans die. Whoever dies first, right? And they will talk about her to their children, about how wonderful, what a great time I had at the Beyonce concert, right? And so it's this girl, you know, you always sell. That's the best selling brand ambassador for any kind of anything you're trying to sell is the girl in America, the girl, and maybe all over the world. In a way, it's almost like it's like a girl is put on a pedestal, put on an elevated platform to be sacrificed, basically, so that these people who invest in her and fund her and back her and give her access to the platform from which she will perform and do her job, like so that they can have a fruitful harvest, right? They're kind of like sacrificing a virgin to the gods of some of Hollywood, to Baphomet or some shit like that. You know what I mean? Like that's what this bitch is. Taylor Swift, Beyonce, all of them. It's what Michael Jackson could be also. I don't know. He's kind of self-made, I guess, in a sense, but not really. I guess he had a foot in the door. I don't know enough about that. But what I'm saying is, it's not surprising that her dialect, so quote unquote, changed. That's her job as a corporate brand ambassador of, you know, cultural output of events, right? Of concerts, of the group orgy of a youth of a generation. It's to be a cultural chameleon, to have her finger on the pulse of what is making a certain generation tick, tap into it and imitate it, be a part of it. And that's why they want them young, because it's easier if you're a part, obviously, it's easier if you're a part of that generation yourself, because you're not completely faking it, but you're not completely genuine all the time. You would be an idiot to be a fucking idiot to be a genuine person in the position that Taylor Swift is. You would actually be a moron. You would think that would be virtuous, but it's actually not. It's stupid. You will lose your position. You have to be a cultural chameleon. You have to be a power player. You have to understand what your job is and do it. And that's Taylor Swift. That's all of these people. Anyway, so this research, I think, was... I think it's good to share, to know that she changed her dialect across regions based on whatever era she was in and whatever demographic she was being told to target that was best for her career. Researchers saw changes in how she pronounced vowels consistent with adopting a Southern dialect in Nashville and then losing those features when returning to Philadelphia. You see what I'm saying? In Nashville, she's in her, I don't know, what's her era? What's a Taylor Swift era? When she's in her Nashville era, right? When she's in her grits and gravy era, she's like, hello, it's so good to be here in Nashville, and I'm so happy, and I just want to go to Dollywood and play music, and I love everybody in America, America, America. And everyone's like, wow, she's so blonde. Whoa. And then she goes back to Philadelphia, performs there, and she's like, hey, what's going on, everybody? Ooh. I don't know what a Philadelphia accent is, but you know what I'm saying? And she just does that. So I think this study is good. I'm glad that they put it out there. I'm glad that it's on the news, because you got to be reminded of what these people are. And it's not even to begrudge Taylor Swift of what she is and what she's for. It's just to point out that is. And so just maybe pull the wool away from your eyes a little bit and see that in this culture, even your culture is very curated and just very, it's curated by entities that you may not be aware of with motives that you don't understand sometimes. And sometimes the motives even go beyond just profit and can even be government kind of stepping in. And going up to a Taylor Swift and saying, hey, you know, we have an issue with domestic terrorism and we need you, because you're an all-American girl, to speak to that somehow. We want you to tell all the Swifties to not have sex with libertarians. Right? Just kind of like put it out there. Maybe you should pretend to date a guy who people think is a libertarian-ish kind of guy. Break up with him and then talk about that so that your fans will relate and also not fuck their libertarian boyfriends in solidarity. You see what I'm saying? And I'm not even sure if I'm hitting any nail on heads right now, because I literally don't know enough about Taylor Swift specifically to know if that was ever a thing. But I'm just saying, this is that kind of shit. In other news, the New York City Rat Czar actually officially resigned from her position, which is hilarious. I'm just bringing that up. Isn't that funny? She stepped in. There was so much fanfare about this bitch. And they were like, she's going to get rid of the rats in New York City. She's going to get rid of the rats, everybody. You can once more go to Chipotle and not worry about the avocado missing some chunks, some rat mouth sized chunks on the avocado. It's all right. That'll be gone. It'll just be regular chunks from the workers nibbling on the avocado, not the rats. But the workers will still nibble on the avocado because they don't get paid enough to eat enough. So sometimes they'll take a little bit off the top, but who's counting? You know, forget about it. Fugazi. But they were like, she's going to solve it. She's going to solve the rat problem. And I was already skeptical about it, because I have seen the rat problem. I'm from New York City. I have been back to New York City. It has gotten progressively worse. It is not good. But the rat problem is not good. And the rats actually are so comfortable being rats in New York that they actually are frolicking around on the grass in Central Park with the squirrels. They are so secure and privileged as rats in New York City. They get everything handed to them on a platter, sometimes literally, that they have actually begun to, for fun, frivolously, just to actually decide that maybe they actually kind of more identified with squirrels. Maybe squirrels are more the vibe. And now the rats want to be squirrels. So now they're frolicking around with squirrels. Squirrels are scared shitless because squirrels are like, hey, that's a rat. And the rats are like, hey, don't you miss species me, you fucking bigot squirrel. And, you know, and this whole thing is happening. And people are just kind of eating ice cream while they see that. Everyone's just kind of eating ice cream and stuff and sitting in the park and just like watching rats try to play tag with terrified squirrels as if it were just kind of a curiosity. So the rat czar tried to stop all that and did not succeed. So I just want to say, of course not, you dumbasses. The rats run New York City. It's never not going to be that way. Everybody thinks, you know, the politicians run New York City. You're a fool. And the mob actually runs New York City. And the mob answers to the rats. And that is the hierarchy of power in New York City. It works because it makes the pizza taste good. And that's why no one's ever going to change it. And that's why the rats will never be gotten rid of, because they actually run, they are in charge in New York City. They make the pizza taste good. I don't know how. Maybe they piss in it. I don't know. And that's maybe that's the secret to great New York City pizza. All right. But are you going to, if you find that out, you're a New Yorker, rat piss makes pizza taste great, you're not going to snitch. Nobody in New York snitches. And so you will never get rid of the rat problem because we don't snitch. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're never going to find out where they are because no one's going to tattle. You don't want to wake up with your feet gnawed off to the knee because you tangled with some rats in power with the mob. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying. It's just a warning. Okay? Stop fucking with things in New York. It's what you're going to mess up the pizza. Okay? Anyway, moving on. In tech news, Meta has released Vibes. That's what they're calling it. A short-form vertical video feed exclusively of AI-generated content. Those interested can download the Meta AI app. Isn't that wonderful? Zuckerberg is trying to kill us, apparently. I mean, Zuckerberg seems to have read Infinite Jest, and he's the only person whose takeaway of that book was, wow, entertainment that actually hypnotizes people into a vegetative state until they piss themselves and die? How do I make that? That is what happened, I think, with Zuckerberg and AI, Meta AI Vibes. You're going to now have a AI-generated news feed. What is that for? Who is that for? Why is that for? What are we doing? Why is it that AI literally was supposed to, okay, first they were like, AI is going to take all the jobs. Then they were like, AI is going to take the jobs that you don't want. And we're like, fine. Then it turns out AI can't do the jobs that you don't want. So then it's like, well, then what's going to happen? It's going to take all the jobs. And then we were like, okay. And then it was like, no, actually, it can only take the jobs that you don't like. Again, we're like, again, really? Still? After these years, it can only do the jobs we don't like? And it's like, yeah, I guess we're just going to take away art. I think AI is going to do art. What do you guys think? And we're like, we don't like that. And they're like, anybody? Anybody? Does anybody have any objection? And we're like, yeah, actually, we do. We don't like. And they're like, anybody? Nobody? All right, yeah. So we're going to have AI take art and news and writing and everything that makes your life rewarding. How does that sound? And we're just like, we don't like that. And they're like, okay, cool. All right, so we're going to do that. And we're like, okay, so... cool. And that's it. And that's AI now. That's what's happening in Silicon Valley. Just a bunch of creeps trying to make shit that nobody wants. So now we got an AI-generated news feed. I don't know what is that supposed to be for? I think the only thing it could be used for is to Manchurian candidate people into, you know, becoming members of ISIS. I mean, that's the only thing you can do. The only thing you could do with AI-generated news is brainwash people, I think. That's what else are you going to do? I mean, whatever. I mean, maybe not. But you know what it will? It actually probably might take the job of like the Associated Press or something like that in some way. Or create a wrapper around like Reuters and Associated Press so that they have to maybe pay AI so that people see their shit. I don't fucking know. But it just doesn't make sense. Let's see. You know what? Look at this. I'm reading it. All right. Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg announced a rollout of Vibe in a post on Instagram that features a series of AI-generated videos. In one video, a group of fuzzy-looking creatures hops from one fuzzy cube to another. In another, a cat needs some dough. A third video shows what appears to be an ancient Egyptian woman taking a selfie on a balcony overlooking ancient Egypt. Stupid me! I actually thought that they were talking about actual news in this news feed, but I keep forgetting that we live in an era of doublespeak, where news feed means brain dead slop that makes you stupider every second you watch it. That's basically it. Distraction. It's just a distraction feed. That's even more evil, actually, because that's what people give into. It's not necessarily what people want, but when you're anxious or upset or something, you do want to be distracted from it. And the impulse is to go on your phone. And now you have a thing that will immediately hypnotize you with this compelling imagery of impossibly fuzzy, beautifully cute little things to your eventual ruin and death. I mean, you're gonna look at this news feed, and then eventually you're gonna get tired of looking. You're gonna look away from your phone. You're gonna realize that 20 years just passed, and you were looking at a cat make pizza. You're looking at a kitten make pizza in a little oven, in a little kitchen that never existed, somewhere, nowhere in the world. Damn, this is creepy. According to Meta, as you browse the news feed, you'll see AI-generated videos from both creators and other users. Yes, sure. Over time, Meta's algorithm will begin to show you personalized content. This is then. Hey, you know what? Let's see what happens. Fuck it. All right. What am I even arguing against here? What am I even talking about? What is anybody even talking about? Make it. Maybe this is good. Maybe in some fucked up social Darwinist way, maybe it's good that people get completely hypnotized and just fucking stare at their phones as they walk off a cliff. And we just get, maybe that'll breed out like pedophiles or something. You know what I mean? Like maybe it'll only be like affect people negatively that are like rapists or some shit like that. You know what I mean? I mean, you never know. I mean, let's see. Let's see what happens. I mean, what else are we gonna do? Nobody's listening. So, whatever. Nobody likes this. It's all the comments in the post. Nobody likes this. AI slop. What? So, nobody is enjoying this technology. Nobody is because you know what it is? It's like people know that it's, what are you gonna do with this? You can't. Nothing. I mean, we're so screwed. It's like they're just going to give a shit that caters to our worst instincts. We're just going to fall into it. It's like going, hey, new technology. This is going to really increase productivity. Here's some heroin. And everyone's like, what? We don't want heroin. Just take the heroin. And we're like, well, we don't want heroin. And it's like, well, if you don't want heroin, you don't have to buy heroin. But we're going to make sure that every corporate company, every company in the whole fucking country and the world has to have their employees use heroin in order to be more productive. That's what we're going to do. How do you feel about that? And we're like, well, we don't, but we have to work. And they're like, exactly. So we're just going to sell it to your job, and then your job's going to make you do the heroin, or you're going to get fired. That's what they're doing. This is what's happening. This is why everybody just wants to live in the woods. You know, the people that are kind of not into this. Whatever. All right. In vigilante justice news, a man admitted to killing his parents on live TV. That was something that happened. He actually called into a local show, and they brought him in, and he did a 30-minute interview with them where he discussed killing his parents and burying them in the backyard of their upstate New York home 8 years ago. He was arrested as he left the studio, which, you know, how else could that have gone? That's not going to be a big shocker here. This is more of a morbid interest piece, I guess. The stunning on-camera confession from Lawrence Krauss, 53, came Thursday, Oh, so he was like 45 when this happened. A day after police say they recovered two bodies from the home in Albany as part of an investigation that found Krause's parents, Franz and Teresia Krause, Jesus Christ, I mean, German much, were still receiving Social Security payments despite not having been seen or heard from in years. Damn, dude, 8 years, this guy. Just living off his parents' Social Security. Getting those checks in the mail. Damn, dude. I wonder why he even confessed. Why? Why bother? Oh, well, I guess... Let's see. Oh. It was a day after. So I guess he just wanted to confess? Lawrence Krause contacted local news outlet CBS6 and sat for a half-hour interview in which he described the deaths as mercy killings for aging parents who were becoming more frail. What was he saying? Was he like, you know, boomers, am I right? Boomers, I killed them. They're boomers. You know how boomers are. They're racist. They have all the houses. I decided to take matters into my own hands. They knew that this was it for them, that they were perishing at your hand. And this was a question by the news anchor that was interviewing him, Greg Floyd. Yes, said Krause, and it was so quick. Damn. And he looks like, you know, he has kind of like that Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker kind of vibe, or not even just like that kind of guy, just a really sort of creepy reptilian guy. And you're never surprised that they actually did that. Krause was initially reluctant to directly say he had killed the couple, but made the admission after several minutes of questioning from Floyd. Oh, well, yeah, I mean, come on, shit or get off the pot. You called in. Krause said his parents didn't ask to be killed, but they knew they were going downhill. I mean, this is crazy. Yeah, dude, that's what it's called getting old. You're supposed to take care of them. I did my duty to my parents, Krause said in the interview. My concern for their misery was paramount. Damn. You see, this is why you got to be careful with people who act like they're philanthropists or doing what's good for mankind or whatever the fuck, because you can really talk yourself into doing the most heinous shit and make yourself out to be the hero for doing it. And that's, I mean, we're seeing a lot of that now, I think, in this country from all over, especially like Silicon Valley. I think, you know what I mean? Like Silicon, you know why I think they want to do this AI slop shit? And then they don't, because I think they just don't give a fuck about us anymore. And they don't have any use for us anymore. We're low productivity, you know, trash people, according to them. That's what they think. And we call ourselves trash. So it's kind of justified, right? Americans have called themselves trash for so long that I think the people in Silicon Valley and people who consider themselves productive and like, you know, moving humanity forward, I think they just finally decided to agree and not try to, you know, help us with education or healthcare. I think they just want us to fucking stay put, really. I don't think they're necessarily trying to do anything nefarious, like kill us or anything. But I do think they want to keep us like in a holding pattern. And they're going to do that with AI and slop and bullshit and distraction because they can control us better that way. And I think they need control more than anything else now because they just want to hold us in one place while they find the secret to, you know, like eternal life or some shit like that. I think that's what it is. I think they want us to be stupid. I think they want us to get dumber even. I don't think the level of stupid we're at is even enough for them. I think they won't stop until we're basically completely illiterate or value reading so little that it might as well be like we're illiterate. In some fucked up weird way, we've gotten so far into the future that we landed right back in the middle of medieval Europe. That is 100% what I think is happening. And, you know, I mean, we're not doing anything about it, so what's going to happen? Anyway, good luck, Krause. Good luck in jail. Nobody's going to touch him anyway in jail because he's too creepy looking. So, I don't know. Maybe they'll beat him up, though. Icky, in other vigilante justice news, we got some really fucked up ones. We got two shootings hours apart. They happened, I believe, yesterday. One in Michigan and one in North Carolina. We got a Michigan Mormon church that a guy opened fire in. He drove his car into it, opened fire, and then set it on fire. And then died in a standoff with police, with a shootout or whatever. So far what we know is at least 100 federal investigators are responding to an attack in a Michigan community where a former Marine crashed a pickup into a Mormon church during a Sunday service, shot into the building, and set it ablaze. What a fun Sunday. All right. Damn, I was doing a podcast on Sunday. This guy's very, very busy. The police chief said officers were on the scene within 30 seconds after a 9/11 call and eventually fatally shot the man, who killed four people and injured eight more. It was the latest of many shooting attacks on houses of worship in the U.S. over the past 20 years, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Let's see. Hundreds of worshipers were inside the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Grand Blanc Township at about 10:25 a.m. on a Sunday. Damn. You imagine that, man? 10:25 a.m. on a Sunday, man. Your fucking church gets set on fire. Everybody's fucking running. Damn. That's fucked up. Yeah, the attacker also started a fire, apparently, by using gasoline. Damn, dude. This is fucking terrible. Okay, the attacker was Thomas Jacob Sanford, 40, from a nearby small town. He served in the Marines from 2004 to 2008, including 7 months in Iraq, for focusing on vehicle operations and maintenance, and was discharged at the rank as the rank of sergeant, according to records released by Marine Corps. You know, the shit about the Army and the Marines, I've seen this time and time again. Whenever the shooters somebody in the military, they always have some kind of rap sheet or record, or even if they don't, I get the feeling like people know that this guy's fucking crazy and they just don't say anything. And I think the reason is because a lot of the people that join the military are people who can't function well in society anyway. So they end up they just join a structured organization that will value them for their effort and commitment and loyalty, at least. And those are the only things that they have to offer, because maybe they don't have intelligence on a level where they can really contribute to society or their lives, right? Or anything like that. So they have those things, right? They can at least be really loyal or this, right? Like you can try to have integrity within an organization that appreciates that and get somewhere, some kind of community from that. But then I think there are some people that are too dysfunctional and they can't even function inside the military. They get discharged. But a lot of people in the military, I've met many, they say that they try to act like it's being in the military, you get PTSD and that it's because of that. But I'm willing to bet that everybody who's been in combat gets PTSD. But I think that a lot of people in the military have mental issues already before they go there. On some level, or some kind of like somehow psychologically they're brittle in some way, and so they just are more vulnerable to PTSD. And I don't think that's a lot of them, but I do think there's a, you know, the ones that are more likely to kind of kook out and like attack people and do a shooting and stuff like that, right? I think they kind of already go in a little fucked up somehow. And then it just, you know, being in the military just pushes them over the edge somehow. Especially if you get deployed to Iraq and stuff like that. You don't know what the hell's going on. And it's really fucked up. I don't know. This is me just kind of spitballing. I really don't know. I don't know what to say about this other than that it was fucking terrible. It was terrible. Then there was another shooting in North Carolina, restaurant ambush, highly premeditated, suspect tied to an anti-LGBTQ conspiracies. This one was weird because I read up on it a little bit before the podcast, and apparently the guy claimed that he was, as a child, put in some LGBTQ pedophile ring or something like that, and that he was sexually abused or something like that. So, I don't know. Yeah, this guy had a boat and then just went and just shot into a restaurant and stuff like that. And then just, you know, booked it. And then they caught him later. Let's see. What is the motive? And then they have some weird language that they're using to describe the guy. And they're saying that the suspect identifies as a combat veteran. He self-identifies. Injured in the line of duty is what he's saying. He suffers from PTSD. And this is actually Fox News that I'm reading from right now. And they reached out to the Department of Defense for comment, but I don't think that they got a response yet. In a 2022 federal lawsuit dismissed early this year, the suspect made sweeping claims that included references to what he called a hate crime, LGBTQ towards a straight man slash me, who was raised as a straight male for LGBTQ purposes in an illegal pedophile sex ring. He also accused his parents of being LGBTQ white supremacist pedophiles who falsified his birth certificate, drugged him, and tried to profit from him while tying his alleged mistreatment to the Iraq War, Abu Ghraib scandal, and the Jeffrey Epstein case. Whoa. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, these are, this is a lot of fucked up shit. I don't know, man. There is a lot of pedophile shit happening in this country. The guy that shot up the Mormon church said that the Church of Latter-day Saints was like the Antichrist or something like that. Latter-day Saints, I think they're behind the Boy Scouts of America. And I think there have been a lot of pedophile scandals tied to it. And that's not to say that, you know, Mormons are pedophiles. But there is a lot of, like, pedophile shit everywhere. And the thing is, it's like when you look at people, look into their background or hear from them, if you go on, you know, Soft White Underbelly and you start looking at interviews of people who are on the street doing drugs, it's like everybody there got molested. I mean, a lot of the problems in this country seem to stem from uncles, your uncle, your dirty uncle, basically your uncle doing some fucked up uncle shit. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like if we just, you know, kept surveillance on uncles and priests and Mormon uncles probably specifically, I think we would go a long way towards solving like the opioid crisis or something else. I don't fucking know. We got to get on this pedophile shit. This seems to really be an issue. Anyway. In other news, Sarah Jane Moore, who tried to assassinate President Gerald Ford in 1975, dies at 95. Assata Shakur, a black liberation activist sought by the U.S. since 1979, dies in Cuba. Shakur, who was given political asylum in Cuba after her 1979 escape from a U.S. prison, where she had been serving a life sentence for killing a police officer, has died, her daughter and the Cuban government said. And that's just, I'm just pointing that out to say, hey, this country has been doing this for a very long time. And like every 40 years or so, they just like rinse and repeat and act like it never happened. And like everything's in a crisis and that it's happening for the first time. It's not. This country is, in some weird way in people's heads, this country is the wild, wild west. I mean, it really is. And I don't know if that'll ever change. I have a theory that whatever a person, like whatever way that a country starts, it actually never ends. It will continue to haunt you and like branch out and evolve, but never disappear. That's why nobody in this country, you know, that's why we still are grappling with slavery and stuff like, because unless there's some kind of, I don't even know. I mean, I was gonna say something dumb like, oh, we need a reckoning, but I don't think there can be one. I don't think there will be one. I don't even think it's possible to have one. So I think this will just play out forever and ever until the country just ends. You know what I mean? Until the U.S. is just done and something else takes its place here. And that's just the way it is. It just will be that way until the end. And maybe that's just, you have to be careful how you found a country. Or you don't. I mean, who gives a shit, right? This country was just a bunch of like entrepreneurs who figured a way out to make money off of founding their own state. And then a bunch of them did it. And then eventually they had about 50 or so of them, and they put them together into a confederation of those motherfuckers. And that's how it runs. Just a bunch of little presidents that we call governors who answer to a big governor who we call the president. And they're still, they're just there to, you know, it's evolved, right? It's not like directly that guy that makes the money or is the entrepreneur or is the CEO of the state. It's more like they're a conduit for many wealth makers. And I think it's just, this is all about making money here, and they're just going to keep doing it until they ain't no money left. And that's kind of it. And then in the meantime, there's going to be people who are trying to shoot their way out of it. In some way, whether you're a Sada Shakur, Sarah Jane Moore, Lolita LeBron, right? That was Puerto Rico. If you're whoever the fuck you are, even if you're this guy who killed his parents, eventually you will feel so oppressed by the state of reality, and it starts to weigh on you to the point where you think you get a gun and you just shoot your way out of it, and then that will solve it. But you're wrong. You're just dumb. Do you understand? Like, you're just too dumb to realize that's not it. That's not even how it works. That won't succeed, and that you are having a fantasy. You are kind of like that guy in that movie Brazil, Jonathan Pryce. You're just having a fantasy of like punching a hole through your life and coming out the other side into a tropical paradise with hot chicks and or hot dudes, and you're on Love Island and you're living your dream. It's not gonna happen, dude. Anyway, in national news, oh man, we don't even have time to cover all this. Trump says he will send troops to Portland. I mean, this is kind of like the inverse of that, right? This is like Trump, he's going to send troops to Portland to solve Portland, which admittedly does have issues with crime. I mean, we got to be real about that. However, is this the fucking answer? I don't know. I think this is more like, this is the fantasy, right? This is like how you defuse many, like half the country feeling like they want to shoot their way out of this society and come out the other side into a tropical island. This is like the president, you know, a demagogue comes and says, don't get your hands dirty trying to shoot your way out of your life. Vote for me. I will shoot everyone out. I will shoot the hole through the fabric of reality I will shoot you out of this hole, and you will be on the other side, and we can all live in a tropical paradise together. Once we get rid of these fucking Mexicans, and everybody goes, yay, because, you know, nobody actually wants to do the work and shoot their way out of life and, you know, burn a church down to like try to do, I don't even know what, make a statement even. And they would rather somebody else do it. Everybody wants to outsource. And that's why we outsource to other countries, and Mexico makes avocados, and we're like, that's cool, we don't want to do that. And that's the same thing with Trump. It's like Trump will send the troops so that we don't have to be the troops. And then we're all just kind of living out some weird, I don't know, idealized fantasy. Like we can just punch a hole through, like life is just like your obstacles in life are just drywall that you could just punch a hole through and just go through them and it'll be done. And it just doesn't work that way. Punch a hole through life. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that analogy really holds up at all, but or metaphor or whatever, but you know what I'm trying to say, I hope. Here's some other news. The number of people charged with breaking U.S. federal drug laws dropped to the lowest level in decades this year after the Trump administration ordered enforcement agencies to focus on deporting immigrants. This is according to a Reuters review of nearly 2 million court records found. That's fucked up. All right, well, I take it back. Maybe you can punch a hole through shit in some way and change things and end up in some kind of better situation. But but should you? That's the question. I mean, I don't know. I don't have the answers. I don't have the answers. And then we got an RFK impeachment introduced by House Democrat Stevens, citing healthcare chaos under secretary's conspiracies. Yeah, okay. Under the secretary. So they're going to try to impeach RFK. We got conspiracies rampant throughout the internet about all this shit. And we're just sitting pretty here waiting for Meta's vibes to come out so we could just ignore everything and just watch kitties playing in the sunset. Anyway, finally, in foreign news, according to Space Force General, China remains the number one threat in space. This is according to Military Times. China remains America's top threat in space and is catching up to the United States military space capabilities at an incredible pace, according to a top Space Force general. And that's just to show you that on every single tier of society, of life, of all problems, foreign and domestic, I don't know, the military seems to be behind everything. I guess. I don't know. It was the fucking Pentagon the whole time, bro. I don't know. I think on some level, they're on every level, China, the nation, this fucking guy who killed his parents like a creep. The state is constantly telling you that everything is fucked up and that you're about to die and that they have the guns. You have guns too, but put down the guns. We will be the guns. Let us do the gun stuff. And we frown upon people just doing the gun stuff on their own. It's not good. You kill people. Not good. Let's do the gun stuff. You don't kill kids. We will kill kids in other countries. And you just chill. And that's kind of like America. That's it. Anyway, that's the only time. That's all. You know what? That's all the time I have today. Thank you for tuning in to the Melissa Diaz Report. My name was Melissa Diaz. Damn, I didn't use my sound machine even once. Not even once. There we go. Anyway, that was the Melissa Diaz Report. My name was Melissa Diaz. Now I'm done. Thank you so much for listening and tuning in today. Thanks for sitting with me while I tried out this format. If I were to give it a review off the top of my head, I think I tried to tackle too many topics, and I probably won't do that again. I'm going to stick to what I was doing before. I think it's much better. I'll do two or three really good ones, really juicy ones, rant about it, and then bid you adieu. I think that's the best thing for everybody and for my mouth because it's tired now from talking. Anyway, thank you for tuning in. I'll talk to you again soon. Stay tuned this Thursday. I'll be back. Planning on talking about the Comey indictment, if it's still relevant. If not, I'll cover some other shit. Anyway, thanks again. Enjoy your week. I hope you had a great weekend. Until next time, goodbye.